South Africans are breathing, in fact, a sigh of relief. Well, this is after Health Minister Dr. Joe Pachler signed the Government Gazette ordering the repealing of COVID-19 restrictions on mask wearing in public. Now, you might have seen that today, even yesterday for that matter, more and more people in the supermarket, in the mall, not wearing those masks. And with the restrictions, of course, being now repealed, he also lifted the requirements of a vaccine certificate or negative PCR test at ports of entry and a limitation of public gatherings. I know many people breathing a sigh of relief with regards to the vaccination certificate or, some sort of formality upon your re-entry into the country was a major issue for many people returning back to South Africa. If you've returned, during the course of the last 1 or 2 years, you know what I'm talking about, where there are long lines and you got to wait that extra, maybe sometimes up to an hour to make sure that your certification is in order. Now, we discussed this with medical expert and convener of the Progressive Health Forum, Dr. Aslam Dasu. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Aslam.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Aslam, before we move on to the repealing of the COVID-19 restrictions or the remaining ones, I mean, just looking at the fact that the first case of monkeypox has been recorded in South Africa, what does this mean for us? How concerned should we be that we are on the cusp of something new and unfamiliar with us?
Yes, I think the whole monkeypox outbreak has caused quite a bit of concern internationally. Mainly because these cases have never been found in those areas, in those countries. And I'm not sure that we've had any previously in South Africa either. But the outbreak internationally has caused concern, but it seems as though this is not in the same category as any pandemic. And that certainly anyone over the age of 50 will have had a smallpox vaccination because this virus is closely related to that and would not be susceptible to it. It is a endemic virus in Central Africa, but it sits within the zoonotic cohort. I mean, it's an animal-based bug that has made a jump to some humans, but it's kind of been confined there. And I think the consensus is that it's usually out of close contact between people. And that seems to be borne out now. People haven't been talking about it, but it happens to be more frequent, though not exclusively, among men who have sex with men. But it requires that kind of close contact to spread. So this case here in South Africa, they said the person has no history of travel, so obviously there are more cases here because they've got it otherwise, but it's certainly not something of the order of COVID or anything like that to give us concern. I think it's been closely watched, and I think if there's going to be an outbreak, there's sufficient vaccine around to deal with it.
Dr. Aslam, on a follow-up question regarding be it the monkeypox or any zoonotic diseases, I mean, we're familiar with this term from a media point of view in the last few years and, listening to it very often that how diseases or viruses morph, from animals into human beings and then making contact with a third species. But, in reality, I mean, is this part of the whole disease and virus scenario that we are going to see more and more zoonotic type of diseases as people travel, you have a larger human population and more contact with all forms of life?
I think that's correct. Look, viruses are a force of nature. They're probably, some regard them as the most highly evolved forms of life because they exist only to recreate themselves and just need hosts to do that. So they're not in any war with us. They're indifferent to us. We just make convenient hosts. And in fact, over generations and epochs, I should say, of evolution, viruses have made up part of our DNA because they're actually just nuclear material. And I think so we are quite integrated with that form of life. But the most important thing, and I think you allude to it, is that we are coming into closer and closer contact with these animals. And the reason for that is because of habitat destruction. So even with COVID, what we have seen at the start of the Industrial Revolution, 90% of all terrestrial animal biomass, all living things on land, you know, was made up of wild animals and only 10% humans and their livestock. That ratio has completely reversed. Now 90% made up of human beings and their livestock, and the rest made up of wild animals. So we have destroyed the reservoirs which used to harbor the animal viruses among the animals themselves, and humans coming into close contact with them, eating a lot of the smaller animals, has created this potential for lots of pandemic potential, and we're seeing it, and we will have more of it because we have damaged the biodiversity of the planet, and perhaps irretrievably. So it's unfortunate, but that has been the effect that humanity has had on the planet.
Coming back to the COVID-19 restrictions and the lifting thereof, I mean, the lifting of the wearing of masks as well as the limitation on public gatherings, among other restrictions, I mean, does this indicate that the COVID-19 pandemic is basically over, doesn't pose a threat to anybody any longer? Or do we simply understand more about COVID-19 to be able to manage it better as any one of our other endemic conditions?
I think the latter proposition is probably more correct. But as far, let's just stick first of all with the regulations that have been repealed. These have been, you know, I mean, these regulations should not have been there in the first place for a long time. We've known for months now, perhaps even as soon as the Delta wave ended, that, you know, our masking strategy is not really working, because unless you wear a proper medical...
We'll try and get Dr. Aslam Dasu online with us, hopefully once again. I think that call just dropped right there, and we'll try and hopefully try and hook up with him. I know load shedding is a return back to reality in some parts of the world. So you're going to expect this here a little bit more often than not, that where a call suddenly drops in the middle of nowhere. And you know, we always try and speak to, you know, the authorities that be it telecom, etc., asking them that, you know what, how come does this happen here? And they give you the same reply consistently, that no, our towers are only able to manage, you know, for a certain number of hours of backup time. And Dr. Aslam, I believe you're back with us.
Thank you. Yes, I am.
Sorry, yes, we are just cut off there. And you were mentioning that, you know, the latter, that we have got an endemic, we understand more that it is an endemic condition here in South Africa.
No, before I get to that, I think these regulations, you know, it's about time they were lifted, because we knew long months ago that the masking strategy was really not helping stop transmission. And that's because unless you are wearing a medical grade mask, and, you know, you're in an area where there's a big concentration of virus, you know, it's really not much use. And it's been part of the entire regulatory regime that has been difficult, that has caused a lot of unhappiness, because it's not often been based on science, proper science, but government has acted in its own interests very frequently. And, I mean, the other regulations like social distancing and gatherings and restrictions on travel, you know, they also should have been done away with a long time ago. That being said, your point about endemicity is important. We have noticed a step change in the pandemic with the arrival of the Omicron variant. And also, given that everyone is infected, and in South Africa it's about 90% who are either infected, who have been infected, or have had a vaccine, there's a high degree of population immunity now. And those, and so the virus is not as lethal as it used to be, because we have this immunity. And I think we are probably exiting the emergency phase of the pandemic, but we can't say that means that the pandemic is over yet. We might be able to say that later this year if there's no new variant and this pattern continues, but then we'll be moving into endemicity. That means this virus will start behaving more and more like the seasonal viruses that we have. And, you know, because it's going to be around. We're not eliminating it. And I think we might just have, see a future initially of more frequent vaccination, perhaps over time less, but we will need vaccines like we take for the flu and so on. But I think this is a very good development. It allows people to start conducting their employment and their other activities fairly normally. It's extremely important for the economy. We've lost 2 million jobs, livelihoods have been lost, and the amount of debt that can be counted by the effect of that over the years will dwarf what we've seen with COVID. So we need to get the economy moving. People have to be supported again, and we have to build up the capabilities and the resources to get more than half the population, which is now officially poverty-stricken, to get through this period and to reduce that poverty level. And I don't know how we can do this with restrictions in place. So, the government has probably realized that there's no point in doing this. The restrictions on travel being lifted is extremely important, for example, the tourism industry, which brings in huge amounts of foreign exchange and is responsible for maintaining a huge amount of jobs. So that's an example of why this is a very good development.
You know, Dr. Aslam, on a final note and a parting note, I mean, the world no doubt had come together in the last 2.5 years to produce the vaccine. And, they sort of like saw a common cause, and which South Africa was a benefactor thereof by, creating its own facility or housing a facility that produces that vaccination. But the same momentum, I mean, are we going to see it going into the future for other conditions that have been with us for a long, long time? Your TB, etc., are they going to receive such attention, or is it going to go back to the same old?
Well, I think, it's a very good question, I must say. And it is, occupying the minds of many people around the world. At the global level, the WHO, I think, has, deserves commendation for bringing the world together, for pooling efforts and so on. But there's always the problem of nation states looking out for themselves, and then the rich world looking out for itself, over and above the interests of the poor world. But we saw a movement this time where they accepted that, we're one planet, that you can't really, sequester yourself from each other. Whether the other diseases will benefit from this, I think absolutely. I think technology has moved dramatically during this pandemic, and that's what pandemics do. They initiate new ways of doing things that will never allow us to go back to where we were. We are never going back to February 2020. I think too much has changed, and I think we're going to be living with a new normal, which is acceptable, and I think the benefits of the huge investment in scientific development and pharmaceuticals and vaccines will be a watchword now into the future. Whether it is equitable and whether it's fairly distributed around the world, I think is going to be a long battle still before we know. But we are certainly not where we were before the pandemic. So there has been progress, and that's what pandemics do. They put humanity on a new footing. And I think this is the case here as well.
Dr. Aslam Dasu, thank you for joining us and being our guest this evening on Radio Islam International, and wishing you well. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Dr. Aslam Dasu joining us, and he's the convener of the Progressive Health Forum. Interesting point.